ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. So this afternoon's text is from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text 61. Chapter 2, text 61. So please repeat. Tani Sarvani
Sarvani
Samyamya Yukta Asita Matpara Vashi Hi Yashendriyani Kasya Pragya Pratishtita Tani sarvani samyayam Yukta asita matpara Vashehi yashindriyani Tasya pragya pratishtita Tani those senses, sarvani, all, samyamya, keeping under control, yukta, engaged, asita, should be situated, matpara, in relationship with me, vashe, in full subjugation. He certainly, yasya, one whose, indriyani, senses, tasya, his, pragya, consciousness, pratishtita, fixed. Translation by the Divine Grace, Bhakti Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. Please repeat. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. Purport by the Divine Krishna Prabhupada. That the highest conception of yoga perfection is Krishna consciousness is clearly explained in this verse. And unless one is Krishna conscious, it is not at all possible to control the senses. As cited above, the great sage Dhruvash Muni picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarish, and Dhruvash and Muni unnecessarily became angry out of pride and therefore could not check his senses. On the other hand, the king, although not as powerful a yogi as the sage, but a devotee of the Lord, silently tolerated all the sage's injustices and thereby emerged victorious. The king was able to control his senses because of the following qualifications as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 18 through 20. Savai Mara Krishna Padaravindayo Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanuna Mani Karao Hare Manti Ramajana Dishu Shutim Chakara Chuta Sakkato Vidaye Mukunda Lingala Dashane Disha Tadvitya Dasra Svasinya Sangamam Vihanam Tatata Pada Saruja Savri Simas Mulasya Rasanam Sarakiti Padao Hari Sita Paranu Safani Shirodhi Sukesha Paravindanani Kamam Chadashi Natukama Kamyaya Yato Sama Shoki Janashaya Rasihi. Translation. King Amrish fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, engaged his words in describing the abode of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord, his ears in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, his eyes in seeing the form of the Lord, his body in touching the body of the devotee, his nostrils in smelling the fragrance of the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, his tongue in tasting last leaves offered to him, his legs in traveling to the holy place where the temple is situated, his head in offering obeisances unto the Lord, and his desires in fulfilling the desires of the Lord. And all these qualifications made him fit to become a Matpara devotee of the Lord. The word Matpara is most significant in this connection. How can one become Matpara is described in the life of Maharaj Amrish. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, the great scholar and acharya in the line of the Matpara, remarks, Mat Bhakti Pravena Sarvendriya Vijay Purvika Svatma Trishti Sunaditi Bhava. The senses can be completely controlled only by the strength of devotional service to Krishna. Also, the example of a fire is sometimes given. As a blazing fire burns everything within the room, Lord Vishnu, situated in the heart of the yogi, burns up all kinds of impurities. The Yoga Sutra also prescribes meditation on Vishnu and not meditation on the void. The so-called yogis who meditate on something other than the Vishnu form simply waste their time in the vain search for some phantasmagoria. We have to be Krishna conscious, devoted to the personality of Godhead, Matpara. This is the aim of the real yoga. Om Ajnat Virangasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Virati Swaha Padantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Vita Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sucha Shri Rupa Sadhijatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishamanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priya Vancha Kalpa Drubhyasya Vipasunibya Evacha Pajitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshacharani Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Premipadaya Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gurajache Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Vimavya Divaita Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So I need a translation again. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness upon me, is known as a man of steady intelligence. Hare Krishna. So this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna for our benefit and benefit of all who read and by the Lord's causeless mercy come in contact with the transcendental knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, that's one. And then he fixes his consciousness upon me, two. That's an intelligent person. That's Krishna's definition. Not how many degrees we got. One who keeps his senses under full control, uses his senses in Krishna consciousness, and is always thinking about the Lord, that person is a person of steady intelligence. That person is a person that is guaranteed to go back to Godhead. This is a prison. Why do we suffer? Krishna is kind. Krishna is wonderful. So if we're going through challenges, then we're obviously at a place that's not so wonderful. So in one sense, if we want to really enjoy ourselves, then we're at the wrong place. That's what it boils down to. The place where we can be most blissful is Bhakti Gandhi. Krishna's abode. This part that we are in, the material world, belongs to Krishna, true enough. But Krishna makes it clear this is the separated energy. You use the word separate. When somebody is separate, they're not close to you. You push aside. If you all be there for a while, but you want to be big, Krishna is the supreme controller. Now, fortunately, we who are here and the other embassies, this temple is an embassy of the Lord. Krishna says, Sri Prabhupada says, this is Vaikuntha. If you go to any embassy of a particular country, the business of that country is dealt with in that particular embassy, in connection with whatever foreign country that it's in, but it's the business of that country that's dealt with. So here, in the temple, the business is Krishna. In the spiritual world, the business is Krishna. Therefore, this is a small branch of the spiritual world. The deity is here, the Lord himself is here. In the spiritual world, the Lord is there. Here, the Lord is here. Now, it's a question of relating properly to the devotees, relating properly to the guru, and relating properly to the deity. And so Krishna says, the senses cannot be allowed to just go haywire. A person who is intelligent, to extend defines, restrains the senses, keeps them under full control. Full control means they use the sense only when it's necessary for gaining spiritual credits. Then the senses are used. Srila Prabhupada says, the highest conception of yoga perfection. That's what this verse explains. Control of the senses and keeping the consciousness on Krishna. That is the highest conception of perfection of yoga. That is Bhakti Yoga. So, the next sentence Srila Prabhupada says, it is not possible to control the senses unless one is Krishna conscious. In a lecture that Srila Prabhupada said, and he made it so straightforward, this was a lecture about the prayers of Queen Kunti, as I remember, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, something like that, chapter 8, verse 28, something in that area. And he says, the senses are quite straightforward as far as controlling them becomes. You cannot let them go haywire because that is the tendency to be. You go haywire. But if you engage the senses in the service of the Lord, then the senses are automatically controlled. Therefore, if we want to control our senses, then we should use our senses more in serving the devotees and in serving the Lord. That's the way to control. But if you serve the devotees and you serve the Lord, that's bhakti yoga. Exactly what it is. Therefore, that's why Srila Prabhupada says, unless one is Krishna conscious, serving with the senses is not possible to control the senses. In other words, the senses don't stop working now. You cannot stop them from working. We're not concentrating on the void and all those kind of things. The senses will have to do something. So you direct it towards service to the Lord and service to the Buddha. And then the senses are controlled. And on top of that, one begins to feel the internal happiness. Because when you serve the Lord reveals himself more. And the more the Lord reveals himself, the happier the devotee gets. So then you realize, after all, you don't have to seek happiness in anything material outside. Because every one of them is temporary, and they will bring disappointment. What in this world doesn't break down? You tell me. Everything breaks down. Some break down quicker than others, but everything breaks down. So everything disappoints. And the more things you try to get, the more expensive it gets. So see, every time you try materially to find happiness, there is disturbance. But Krishna consciousness is steady, and once we are involving our senses in it fully, like Maharaj Amrish did, it's a great example for us. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam that part is quoted. Fixing the mind in the lotus feet of Krishna, engaging his words and describing the abode of the Lord. So can we do that? The answer is yes. In our conversations, we can always bring Krishna into it. That way, when we're talking, we remind ourselves of Krishna, and we remind the person that we're talking to also about Krishna. His hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord, ears in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, and Krishna has already let us know that the nine ways in which we serve Krishna begins with hearing. Maharaj Amrish, his ears to hear in the pastimes of the Lord. Hearing is very powerful because this is where, see, Krishna doesn't force us though. You want to do it, you do. You don't want to do it. Even Arjuna, after he said everything he said, says in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he says, well, fully deliberate on it. I'm finished. You think about it and you tell me what you want to do. Because love does not push. And Krishna is about love. Because love doesn't force. You have to do on your own. On your own. And so, this is also the same. If we want, then we hear more and more and more about Krishna every day. And that's what I really said. Every day. Not just Sundays in the temple, only every day. Because every day we'll do something with our senses. So include hearing. And when we hear, then all the difficulties that we have, Krishna would arrange for the lectures to provide the answers. This is very true. Some of us have lived, you know, how many years in Krishna consciousness, the important thing that was stressed is keep hearing, keep hearing, keep hearing. And if you hear, the solutions will come. And if you live by them, you begin to be happier and happier and happier. So this is how it works. So, Maharaj Amrish used his eyes. He would look at the deities. He would smell the fragrance of the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Taste the tulsi leaves. You can also smell tulsi. They have a nice aroma to it also. Going to the holy place, which we've done today, which is wonderful. Offering obeisances. Dhyan Subham Sasha Yashastri Sandhyam. In Sri Guru Ashtaka, the very last sloka, the third line, in Sri Prabhupada made it a point of saying, Dhyan Subham Sasha Sasha, what? And the Buddha says, Sri Sandhyam. He said, yes, you have to offer obeisances to the spiritual master 3 times a day. 3 times a day. When you're in front of your altar and your offer obeisance, your spiritual master is there. That's one already. Okay? But you can offer and offer again and offer again before the day is up. See, these, it's not little things. But once we do them, this is all noticed by the transcendental system. The whole idea about Krishna consciousness, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj explains, don't try to look for Krishna. You should serve Krishna so much that he wants to see you. You see the opposite. So then you hear about how to serve Krishna and you do it from your heart. As a matter of fact, chanting, hearing, and the next is chanting. Chanting is extremely important. Now all of these things help to control the senses. We chant, sometimes we chant and our mind travels. That means we're chanting from our mouths and not from our hearts and mouths. Both should be there. See, where is the soul? The soul is in the heart area. Transcendental sound is for the soul. Therefore, when we chant, we should feel it in the heart first, and then it comes out of our mouth. And if we actually practice that, feeling in the heart, then coming out of our mouth, nobody is going to school you or teach you how to chant steadily. It will be steady. It will definitely be steady. So chanting has to come from our heart first. See, we know how to love, right? Somebody that we are attracted to, even for those who have children or have had children, when you see pictures, especially those who have grown children, you see pictures of your child when he was younger, immediately a smile comes to your face. Or say the child is 20, but you found the shoes of a child when she was about 5 years old. Oh yeah, she used to wear this. Immediately you have all these kind of thoughts, and they are wonderful thoughts. So everything connects to loving from even what you see around you. How much more Krishna when you see the deity, when Lord Chaitanya saw the deity of Jagannath at Jagannath Puri, first thing happened to him, he fainted. So much love from him towards the deity, he could not retain himself, he fainted. So we can serve the Lord. We should be willing, not forced, willing to serve the Lord ourselves. And then the senses become controlled. And also hear, and keep hearing. Chant from the heart. So human life, this life we're living now, with this physical body that the soul is encased in, is not meant for sense gratification. It really isn't meant. Sense gratification never ultimately makes us happy. It doesn't. But that's what the majority of people in the world are doing now. So then the life that we're living is anti that type of life. So it seems like we are a minority, you know, a whole lot of people that are trying to enjoy themselves. But human life is meant for austerity. Austere life is to stay away from sense gratification. And when we stay away from sense gratification, the senses are controlled. If you can't just not do anything without the senses though. Just stop. Stop means you are stopping the things for sense gratification, but you have to replace them with the higher. And Param Dishvana Vratite, replace them with Krishna consciousness. So for us, we need to engage our minds and actions in Krishna consciousness. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada Madhu Maharaj, we'll give some practical things also about what actually to do. But before that, this one we need another translation supporting this. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 10. And the translation is, life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. The ultimate goal for everything you're doing should be to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki, Shri Jagannath Madheshwara Maharan Ki. So, our bodies are made of these material senses, which also, true enough, require a certain amount of satisfaction. So there are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses. They are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. Even in marriage, a husband and wife decide to have a child, there are strict rules on how you go about it. So that the child that comes is the child that will actually help to elevate or continue his or her own quest to go back to Godhead. Now, through all of this, it's important that we have to approach a bona fide spiritual master to learn transcendental science. For us, Krishna is said, or has said, the spiritual master is the one that guides us. So it's really, really important not only to offer obeisances 3 times a day, that's there, to the spiritual master, but also direct our prayers to the spiritual master. Direct our prayers to the spiritual master. You say, my spiritual master is not here. Probably nobody's spiritual master is in this room at this time. But that's all right. You have your pictures of the spiritual master. You offer obeisances to the picture of the spiritual master. Or the mercy of Srila Prabhupada if you're not initiated. And direct your prayers, even your problems, to the spiritual master. Krishna says, inquire from the spiritual master. Actually, Krishna consciousness is Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, Madhu Maharaj came right out and told us in the darshan. He said, Krishna consciousness is Guru consciousness. That's the way it is. That's the difference between Vaishnavism and Hinduism. In many of the Hindu temples, when you go and you're really quite alert, you realize there's something wrong with the setup. If you go and you're a Vaishnava, the first deity you're going to look for is, where is Radha Krishna? It's obvious, Radha Krishna. And you will see Radha Krishna deities in Hindu temples. You will see them. But where would they be? Along with Lord Shiva, along with Kada Saraswati, the same size, same area. But if you're a Vaishnava, your 10 offenses, the second offense says, we should not put Lord Vishnu on the same category as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, who are demigods. So you go to the Hindu temple and Radha Krishna has already been put at the same level as the demigods. That's already the second offense by Vaishnavism. Already. That's why we don't go there. Not for our regular worship. Unless there's something that connects your family and you need to go. Well, we all do that. We go to our material families and Thanksgiving, all those kind of things. But that is the situation. We are Vaishnava. We are different from regular Hindus. So it's not only that we don't go to the spiritual, demigods to ask for material things, but the temple itself is set up against the second offense as a Vaishnava. So if you got a nice temple, this is where you come. It's as simple as that. Okay, so again, it's through the spiritual master that we know what to do. Now, so we talked about sense control. Srila Prabhupada says, engage them in the service of the Lord and his devotees, and they will be automatically controlled. So then, a few details. What to do? Program your daily life. Srila Prabhupada lived like that. Program your daily life. In the morning you get up, there are things that you do. Write them down against the time. And if you do that, you will definitely put in the time for japa, make sure it's there, the time to listen, lectures will be there. If you're working, sure, go to work, come back. There's certain things you do in the house, certain times you check your email, those kind of things. There should be time to hear. And then you do it such that by the time you go to bed, everything that you've done is either necessary for the body, in your family, or important, which is Krishna consciousness. And if you write it out, you will automatically exclude Maya. If you won't write, I want to go do things to the Maya, you won't put it in. If you have certain intelligence, you're not going to put it in. And if you just stick to that program, it works. You can stick to it for about 3 weeks, and then you will do it naturally without even looking at the sheet of paper. Okay? Next, you can help other devotees with their needs. This is very, very important. Christian consciousness is not a thing for me alone and you alone. When we help other devotees with their needs, then Krishna likes us even more. The more we assist others, the extent to which we assist others is the extent we ourselves grow in Krishna consciousness. So, growth means we will get purified. We cannot purify ourselves. It's Krishna that purifies us. And this program is, you help my devotees, then I am more pleased with you. Because if you help a devotee, then two things happen. He's got that help, he or she's got that help. That's one. The other thing is, but this is a devotee that helped me. Therefore, I am happy about Krishna consciousness as a whole. Which means it helps them mentally to stay in Krishna consciousness. Only because it's a devotee that actually, you know, helps whenever help is needed. So help other devotees. Now, in network of instruction, next point. Six actions of love. Give gifts, receive gifts, but you can't control receiving gifts. But you certainly can give gifts though. Make it a point to give gifts. Give prasadam. Again, you can't control receiving prasadam, but you definitely, I mean, when somebody offers you prasadam, you take it, but give prasadam. And speaking about giving prasadam, everybody should do this. If you have plants in your house, I feel like asking how many people have plants, but I don't want to, this is not school, so. If you have plants in there, you have to give them your maha water. Like you see my eyes in where he was living at the time, he had quite a few like plants, but he called them plant devotees. I never understood. He actually called his plants plant devotees. But he knows something a little bit, you know, a lot deeper than I knew. But we were offering. When you serve your boga to, when you finish cooking, and you serve, when you have water, and you come to give the deities, and then you close the offering and take, sometimes you will drink the water, but don't forget the plants. That's their food. That is their food. So you just give it back to the plants. I've actually tested this. Steadily giving plant the maha water to Tulsi Maharani, one particular Tulsi Maharani, she grew like anything in her house. No fertilizer. And she still grew like anything. Maha water. This is a potency of maha water. So, we talked about chanting. Chant from your heart through your mouth. Now, from the heart first. When you're walking outside, remember there's so many other living entities. So if you chant softly, they also benefit. They also benefit. So sometimes when you're walking, chant also. So that those around you that you may not be even paying attention to, they will also benefit. The mantra is that powerful. To remind devotees about Guru's mercy and the Lord's mercy and Krishna's mercy in your conversation. Whenever you're talking, when something has worked well, that is Guru's mercy, that's Krishna's mercy. Say that because if you say that, then you bring the person's mind to Guru and Krishna. That way you remind Krishna all the time. There's a few more things. I'm looking at the time because I don't have that much time. But one more minute, so I'll just say this. Sometimes we get bothered. Hopefully we get bothered by clutter. If there's clutter in your house, get rid of it. My sister must steal on me about it. She called me a pack rat. And I take everything seriously. So you pack many things. I started moving things around, moving, throwing things away. And to this day, you have to do it. At least monthly, look at everything that needs to go and get rid of it. And that will help your mind and stay in the mode of goodness. But there's also something called, that's physical clutter. There's also mental clutter. And that also has to go. Mental clutter means don't waste time on things that you can't do anything about. If you can't do anything about it, don't worry too much about it. It doesn't matter. And for your heart, stay humble. There's two more points. For your heart, stay humble. That means consider yourself a neophyte externally. Your whole life. Consider yourself a neophyte. Never accept somebody say, oh, you're so high, this. You know, I don't know anything. Everything is through my Guru's mercy. And that's the truth. It's through my Guru's mercy it's happening. Okay. And please hear Bhagavad Gita and read Srimad Bhagavatam and live by what they say. You organize your life. We talked about being hearing and chanting, right? At least once a day, you should hear and you should chant. Now, we also said we're going to talk about Aparat. So we'll speak a little bit about Aparat. That's important. And then we'll have about three more minutes or so for questions after this. So, Aparat is life without Radharani. You can't go back to the spiritual world as an Aparati. So the rule of thumb about Aparat to stay away from, anything that you do to upset a devotee is Aparat. Anything done that makes the other person upset, you've committed Aparat. Which means sometimes even when you have to say something that is correct, you shouldn't say it in such a way that you will annoy the person. Even how you say, not just what only, but how. Even that's important. So you speak nicely, you speak respectfully, don't use harsh words, and then this may surprise some people, because sometimes when you feel you're right, and you're talking to a devotee, you need to tell them what is right. Well, yeah, materially we do that, but for a devotee, you have to be a little more careful. There's a slight difference in how you talk about even what is right. So if you have a conversation with a devotee, and they say something, and you think exactly the opposite of it, what are you going to do? No, it's not like that. As soon as they know, you hurt their feelings. So now you are Aparati. So then what do? Even to bring a point that is different or opposite, there's a way to do it. You hear the person out first, and then you say, that's one angle of it. So you haven't said no. You said that's one angle. Another angle is then you say yours. You understand? Right? That's one angle. Because this is Umaru speaking. That's one angle. You don't say, no, it's not like that. But that, especially kids, you can do it because you're training them. But this is adult to adult now. Okay, yeah, that's one way to look at it. But that's one angle. And I also know that, or I've been told that such and such and such and such also works. Now, you really have actually said the opposite. But you haven't said it in an offensive way. Because you didn't say no to them. You just said, if you look at it this way, there's this other angle also. Like that. So you can converse in that way. And please be humorous. Bring humor in every time you're talking. And when you see a devotee, you're going to say, Hare Krishna, please smile first. Smile. My Guru Maharaj did it all the time. This is the way back to him. I always smile. Before Hare Krishna comes out of his mouth, this big smile comes out first. It makes the person feel better. Hare Krishna. Okay. So we start here. Any questions or comments?
It's a very nice class.
Krishna's mercy. Guru's mercy.
Hare Krishna. So, Aparat, offending the devotees.
Yeah.
Threshold is so low,
so
everybody gets offended
easily. Well, there is, I see what you're saying. Very important, I hope you heard what he was saying. So in management, sometimes you have to chastise the devotee, or somebody, right, devotee. And people's threshold is, you can't take for so much and they get upset about it. And then we just said anything that you do to upset the devotee is half around. So then what do you do as the manager? Well, Mother Kalini, Giranaga used to do that very well. One time he did it to me, and that's how I got to know. So now I'll share that with him in a second. One second, I'll give you. You know what the right thing is to do? Okay. So you start by talking about the right thing the person should have done. List those right things, all the points about the right things. And then you end it as, it will be good to keep this in mind. Finish. Keep it in mind. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. You don't say, but they won't know, for the intelligence that they know what you told them is what they did was wrong, obvious. But you corrected them by saying what the right thing is. See, keep that in mind. It would be nice to keep it in mind. That's some of the cleaning did to me. if what does not happen,
you said that nicely, what exactly you say.
Okay, so I understand.
After 1 week, nothing happens.
Now, you can take action. Okay, if you have a position, you can take action. Sometimes you can relieve somebody of what they do. Those things.
It's not offense?
Of course not. No, that's not offense because they're killing. They're the ones committing the offenses by doing the wrong thing. Okay, so sometimes you can relieve them of the offenses. Srila Prabhupada handed a devotee to the police. But the way he handed it, he said, we have tried to care for him. So the police have tried to care for him, so now I'm handing him to your care. That's how he put it. But he handed him to the police. The guy was stealing all over the place. The devotee was recording and reporting. Yeah, you can take action. You can take action. Okay. All right. Question.
Committing the same offense, says repeatedly, says something bad, or like what Prabhuji said, tries to say what he was trying to say, but in the meanwhile, like, I wouldn't just tell him, like, hey, this is what you should have done.
What would you do?
Behavior. I would just ignore that person and then just think, he's not a very nice person. Oh well, I'll just keep on minding my own business, reading my book and stuff. It's like, is that a good idea?
No.
Why not?
Because they will keep doing the bad thing and now they can pile more wrong.
Just simply ignoring that person. That person's like a maniac or something. Just go to Krishna. You'll be fine.
You can go to Krishna in terms of going to a person in authority and telling them what's going on, so they can take action. So you can tell somebody.
Let them suffer in the material world.
No. Absolutely not. That means you have no mercy. You have to help them. We'll talk about it even downstairs. So that you want more about it.
This is a very valid point which Prabhuji is saying, that, you know, sometimes people don't come to management, but they talk to each other and they realize somebody is doing wrong, but they chose to ignore it. Oh, why should I bother it? My relationship will go better or worse. But I feel personally that they are taking the karma also. For example, they see something wrong and DD service. Oh, I don't want to say that because I don't want to offend the devotee for that one. But they are getting the karma for that because they're ignoring what is to be done right just because they want a material attachment. Oh, I don't want to offend the devotee.
It's important to say it, but how you say it though is what's important. How you say it. And you get an idea, some of the people in management, when I was not in management, sometimes you see some things, they were my God family members. Senior God brothers to me, and I knew that something had to be said about it. And I, because we're living as a community, I knew people's mood, the temperament. And so one particular guy, I won't mention it because we all know him, but I won't mention his name. I just go to him, and I knew that there's a way in which you approach him that he will hear. And I will go to him, just bow my head down a little bit, so I'm not looking directly in his eye, drop my voice, and say what I have to say in one or two short sentences. That's it. Walk away, and he'll get a message. He'll get the message. And I worked over and over again, so I used it over and over again. Say it in a short few sentences. That's it. But you use nice words, though, rather than, you know, you're bothering me in this. No, if you do this, do this, do this, there is concern. Baba Devu used that word, and I will hurt him. There's concern. He doesn't use the word bad. He just says there's concern. If you do this and this, if this is done, then there's concern. So, Umar Kriyu says, do this, keep it in mind. They all use mild words like that, not directly offensive. They still, they're telling you though. They're really telling you what it is you should be doing. Eric, very good questions. Any other questions? Oh, okay. Gantrashkumar Bhavagina Ki Nitai Guru from Dhani. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.